Good morning and welcome to our Monday morning chapel. Please join me there in unison in the prayer for the week. O Lord, mercifully hear my prayer and stretch forth the right hand of your majesty to defend me from all that rise up against me. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the letter of 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth, and we pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Back in April of 1965, the Minnesota River that runs right here through Mankato started to overflow and went over its banks by 29 feet, almost 30 feet, and flooded downtown Mankato and North Mankato. And the dike that's out in Sibley Park suddenly broke, And it all happened so quickly that there used to be a zoo out there, not the little petting zoo there is now, but a kind of more of a real zoo out there. And the rescuers went out to open the cages so that the animals could get out and try to get to freedom. Not all of them could be rescued. Some were. They were taken to Como Park in St. Paul. But 25 creatures died in that. And the more dangerous animals had to be left in their cages because of their being a threat to the public. There were reports that week of a large group of elk walking through North Mankato. Imagine what that looked like. And I was about 6 years old at the time. I remember hearing all of this. But those more dangerous animals, as I said, had to be left in their cages, and two of them happened to be lions. Now, the trouble was that the cages they had over the lions had tops on them, too. And so lions can swim a little bit, apparently, and navigate water if they need to. But the fear was if they let them out and they had nowhere to take them, that they would be such a danger to the public. So they died in the waters. The text in front of us uses the imagery of a lion, that the devil is like a lion. And in first century Palestine, this was not an uncommon thing to hear about attacks of lions. They did sometimes come out of the wilderness. Young David, if you remember, who was a shepherd boy outside of Bethlehem, explained to Saul at one point that he had had to kill a lion at one time to protect his sheep, his flock. So the imagery that St. Peter is using here, that the Holy Spirit is having him use, was very relevant to his contemporaries. Excuse me. Speaking of water. So this concept of prowling around like a roaring lion is very easy for us to picture. And in the book of Job, when Satan comes before God, he says that he's been going back and forth on the earth. Kind of get that same sense as well. So it's important for us, first of all, to start with, just to recognize the existence of this enemy. And I remember years ago, a lady came out of church one day. I'd been at a congregation only a couple months, and I'd had a sermon that dealt a little bit more deeply with the work of the devil. And she came to me and shook my hand after church and said, "One thing I've always appreciated about this church is that the devil is very real at this church. Nothing would benefit the devil more than to have you forget about him or to maybe think he's not so real. The secularization that has taken place in many of our public universities around the country has sort of done away with and scuttled the idea of supernatural beings and demonic forces like the devil. And just think what an advantage that is for the devil himself, to have an entire culture buy into the idea that he's not even there." Dr. C.F.W. Walther said this at one time, "The presence of Satan is so much a part of Scripture that the entire foundation of the Christian faith collapses as soon as a person wants to deny the existence of this evil spirit." So the reason the Holy Ghost is bringing this up through Peter's writing is not to terrify you, but to make us very respectful of his power and of his cunning. After our nation was attacked on 9/11, our government put together a commission known as the 9/11 Commission. And they looked into all the things that had happened ahead of time. How did we miss this? How did we miss this kind of an attack from our enemy? And they came up with a statement that was very interesting. They called it a failure of imagination. A failure of imagination. And what they meant by that is that it was hard for us prior to 9/11 to imagine the cunning way that we could possibly be attacked, and that people would infiltrate our country in such a unique way. And we must each individually get past thinking that the devil is some light thing. and consider the cunning of our enemy. So for yourself today, just as I need to do too, we need to ask ourselves, how right now in my life is Satan trying to infiltrate my spiritual world? What tall grass is he hiding in your life right now? What are the things he might be trying to use in your life right now to slowly get you away from Christ? Our text says that he is seeking whom he may devour, and that's his final goal and intent. Satan's intent is not just to have you fall into sin. That's easy, okay? That's a no-brainer for him. And he knows we're weak and that can happen. So falling into sin is not really the issue. And once you fall into sin in his mind, it's over and it's quickly done and big deal. But what he really wants you to do is to fall in love with your sin. He wants you to protect it. He wants you to elevate it in your mind and try to justify it, and to refuse to repent of it thoroughly before God, to such an extent that it starts to loosen your grip on your Savior, to loosen your grip on Christ and his word. I notice this about myself, I'm guessing you do too, that whenever I'm drawn toward temptation and whenever I'm caught up in going toward temptation, whatever it is, that it's at that time that I forget about Christ the most, that he tends to kind of fade off into the background. And that's the danger. That's the thing that Satan is. It's not just to get you to sin. It's to get you to ultimately let go of Christ. And so the Holy Spirit here directs us to where our real protection from him is to be found. And that is in Christ himself, who is our great good shepherd, the one who has ripped apart the jaws of the lion. And it's important for us to remember about him as well, our Savior, that he is not on equal footing with the devil. It's not as if it's this kind of a sparring match where they're both kind of in the same weight class. When we're talking about Christ, the Good Shepherd, he is very God of very God, being of one substance with the Father by whom all things were made. You're dealing with God when you're considering Christ. And so Peter tells us here to be steadfast in the faith, in our faith in Christ, our love for him. And faith is significant not because of itself, but rather because it latches onto Christ. In that way, our faith overcomes the world, as St. John says. It's not faith itself. In my faith, if it's like yours, is going up and down all the time. There's times when it's really, really weak. So it's not my faith that does it, but the fact that the object of our faith is our Lord Jesus, the powerful one who defeats the work of the devil, the one who went to the cross for us to pay for our sins, to open the gates of heaven for us. That is why faith has such significance. And just to take a little perspective on this whole issue with the devil in our lives, even a little 3-year-old believing girl, by faith in her Savior, has power over Satan himself and all the raging forces of hell. All the mastery and planning of hell must bow before a 3-year-old girl who's been baptized into Christ and blessed with this precious gift of faith. This little child that loves her Savior, loves his word, and looks forward to going to heaven, know that he paid for all of her sins. Just think how simple faith is, and yet the tremendous power that God attaches to it in his word. And also consider how simply our Lord Jesus himself threw aside the devil. And what did he use? He quotes himself. He quotes his own word. He goes to the very scripture that he now hands to you and invites you to believe and trust in and learn and to know it and inwardly digest it. The same weapon that he used, he gives to us. So, one last point from this text. Notice it says that we should resist the devil, steadfast in the faith, and then he says, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. That unity of the members of the Holy Christian Church is just another layer of bond and protection against the wiles of the devil. So throughout your life, stay with Christ, Just hang on to him and his word. Use his word, because he himself did against the devil. And surround yourself with fellow lion hunters, as you're doing right here in this chapel right now. May God bless you in this great fight. Amen. And now may the triune God of your baptism, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Go in his peace. Amen.